swinging jazz band vocalist to a true and pure artist with absolutely something to say.
The change will come someday. Whatever he is, I wanna be his way. Don't want a mother, I don't need a friend. My heart is aching, it won't ever mend. I ain't much caring just where I will end, but I must have that man. Like an oven that's crying, he treats me awful each time we meet. It's just unlawful how he can cheat, but I must have that man. He's hot as Hades, a lady's not safe in his arms when she's kissed. I'm afraid he's cooled off and maybe I'm rude off his list. I need that person much worse than just bad. I'm half alive and he's driving me mad. He's only human, he can be had, and I must have that man. I'm
Vietnam. You give me second-class houses and second-class schools. Do you think that all colored folks are just second-class fools, Mr. Backline?
Celebrating the trailblazing pioneer spirit of Billie Holiday on this week's Girly So Groovy, as well as shining a light on all the musicians and bands Billie Holiday has paved a path for. Specifically, Billie Holiday has absolutely created the blueprint for jazz vocalists to follow, including musicians like Norah Jones, Madeline Peru, Dinah Washington, Cassandra Wilson, Sarah Vaughan, Anita O'Day, and of course the two jazz vocalists we just heard, Nina Simone and Abby Lincoln. We heard Nina Simone's Backlash Blues, one of her civil rights songs, actually written by Harlem Renaissance poet Langston Hughes. That is from Nina Simone's 1967 album, Nina Simone Sings the Blues. In the middle, it is Abby Lincoln. Abby Lincoln is a jazz musician who I think is just making her first time debut here on Girly So Groovy, but extremely powerful jazz singer from the 1950s with an absolute distinctive voice. We heard Abby Lincoln with her song, I Must Have That Man. That's from her album, That's Him. And then, of course, we kicked the hour off with Billie Holiday's signature song, Strange Fruit. We heard the 1939 recording of Strange Fruit. It is from an album called The Commodore Master Takes. And what's interesting about this particular recording of Strange Fruit, at the time, Billie Holiday was recording with Columbia Records, but Columbia Records felt Strange Fruit was too controversial of a song to record, and accordingly Billie Holiday reached out to Commodore Records, who was more than willing to take a risk on what would become an absolute legendary song. As a pioneer, Billie Holiday was a voice to redefine jazz. When Billie Holiday was born in 1915, the pop music world as we know it was still in a primitive state. However, by the time Billie Holiday turned pro in the early 1930s, American music had been entirely reshaped by technology of the time. Electrical recordings, microphones, and radio were the ultimate complements for Billie Holiday to harness. By traditional measures, her voice did not have much of an instrument when compared to the likes of Bessie Smith or Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday's voice was small and slight. She possessed a mid-range drawl that cracked and creaked when she sang, but the result was enchanting. She would sing in a hushed way, meandering around the beat while slyly elongating and truncating syllables. When Billie Holiday sang, she would command attention, not with forcefulness, but with reluctance. She sang behind a confidential hum, her vocals revealing only hints of pain, infatuation, stoicism, giddiness, and defense. They were enticing enough to invite speculation, but mysterious enough to keep the listener wondering what were her secrets. It was just an irresistible concept. That signature, shrewd, and subtle vocal phrasing that is so important to blues and jazz music was boosted by the new technological tools on offer. Billie Holiday did not have to belt out a song to reach the balcony of a vaudeville theater. She understood the microphone could amplify her murmurs to every corner of the hall. These dips and variations in her tone allowed an emotional intelligence to be expressed through song, which was uncommon in previous waves of music. Despite all the praise Billie Holiday receives for her vocals, she is rarely recognized as a musical genius and pioneer. But it was this subdued approach to singing, utilizing the power of that microphone, that was a landmark change, with Billie Holiday influencing not only jazz singing, but instrumentals, pop singing, theater, and film scores.
Autumn in New York. Why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York. It spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds and canyons of steel. They're making me feel I'm home. It's autumn in New York. Brings the promise of new love. Autumn in New York is often mingled with pain. Dreamers with empty hands may sigh for exotic lands. It's autumn in New York. It's good to live it again. Autumn in New York. The gleaming rooftops at sundown. Lifts you up when you're let down. Jaded roué and gay divorcee who lunch at the Ritz will tell you that it's the slums into Mayfair. Autumn in New York. You'll need no castle in Spain. Lovers that bless
on benches in Central Park. Greet autumn in New York. It's good to live it. Have a good time.
Have a good time.
So long. I'll miss you, I know. But have a good time. You free. Dance and sing. Pretend that it's true love. Don't worry about me.
About me.
I know that tears will only dry. Thank you.
In this hour on Girly So Groovy, we are shining a light on the trailblazing spirit of Billie Holiday and the way she influenced so much music in the last 100 years, including Billie Holiday's imprint on R&B as a genre altogether. R&B trailblazers Etta James and Ruth Brown, who we've just heard, are two musicians who are self-proclaimed disciples of Billie Holiday. In fact, it was just last year in our Trailblazing series where we focused on Etta James as an R&B pioneer. Again, both absolutely inspired by the music Billie Holiday makes. And if Billie Holiday was not making that music, could pioneers like Ruth Brown and Etta James actually trailblaze their own path to give us the genre of R&B? Who knows? But it's just that much power that Billie Holiday has had on pop music since. We heard Etta James with her song, Anything to Say Your Mind. That's the opening track to her standout album, At Last. And then in the middle, it is Ruth Brown, R&B trailblazer pioneer herself, Ruth Brown, with Have a Good Time. That was a 1954 single that Ruth Brown released. Again, Ruth Brown, another pioneering musician we should absolutely feature more here on Girly So Groovy. And that's why I love doing this trailblazing series. It's a great way to dust off some albums and voices to incorporate into Girly So Groovy. If Billie Holiday inspired genres like jazz and blues and R&B, it's no wonder that Motown Records, a record label that built themselves on those genres, had numerous musicians come through their doors citing Billie Holiday as a major influence, including Gladys Knight, Mary Wells, Diana Ross. In fact, Motown sound was built so much on the legacy of Billie Holiday that the 1972 feature film Lady Sings the Blues was championed and produced by Motown chieftain Berry Gordy. He wanted to reclaim Billie Holiday as a hero for Black people, as well as a metaphor for the ongoing civil rights struggle in the 1970s. He also used it as an absolute tool to highlight Diana Ross. Again, remember, this is 1972. The mere fact that two powerful Black business people had managed to bring a Black interpretation of a Black icon into mainstream American theaters was a triumph of unprecedented proportions. And again, this was all because of Billie Holiday's legacy and strength. That same power continues even today in face of the Black Lives Matter movement. Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit has been streamed over 2 million times since 2020. Again, finding voice that is nearly 100 years old, still with relevance today. This is what trailblazers do.
So I walk a little too fast, and I drive a little too fast, and I'm reckless, it's true, but what else can you do at the end of a love affair? So I talk a little too much, and I laugh a little too much, and my voice is too loud when I'm out in a crowd, so that people are apt to stare. Do they know? Do they care that it's only that I'm lonely and low as can be, and the smile isn't really a smile at all. So I smoke a little too much, and I jump a little too much, and the tunes I request are not always the best, but the ones where the trumpets blare. So I go at a maddening pace, and I pretend that it's taking its place. But what else can you do? Do they care that it's only